This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Mississippi U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 560 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. While farmers and ranchers have dealt with a variety of weather conditions and natural disasters, farmers in the Delta states have not been without their own headwinds. Mississippi U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith says the ag industry in her state have felt their share of burdens in 2026.
Well, it's kind of like the rest of most of the Southeast and a lot of different areas in the country. You know, our row crop guys are struggling. We had the big ice storm in Mississippi, and it's like the second costly storm. So, you know, we've had some struggles in Mississippi in the last few months, there's no doubt. But the prices that for our products, these row crop guys, they're really in dire straits.
In terms of livestock, plenty of concern about New World screwworm. How are your beef producers approaching the good price that we're seeing, but also concerns about protecting the herd?
Well, obviously, we don't want it in. And I think that the Ag Secretary, Brooke Rollins, is doing a really good job of managing that. There's pressures, obviously, on both sides. But the price of cattle, you know, the producers are very much enjoying it. It's letting them catch up a little bit because we know for so many years that was not the case. And I've always said we were willing takers instead of willing sellers. And now we're definitely willing sellers. And because of the shortage and the different circumstances that affect that. But we want healthy cattle. We want healthy protein to serve Americans. And it is a true concern.
Looking at policy in Washington, farmers are calling for and have been calling for some time a new farm bill. Given some of the challenges that we're seeing in the House, what do you feel are prospects for the Senate Ag Committee taking up a farm bill? And as Chairman Bozeman said, a farm bill in weeks rather than months.
I truly think at this point that we're going to get there. You know, I just think that Chairman Thompson's done a fabulous job on the House side. And, you know, there's obviously some amendments we're looking out for and ways that we're going to have to navigate that. But, you know, I've been working with Chairman Bozeman and other committee members that we're ready to do something when it gets on our side and ready to go to conference and get a good final product. And, you know, we just can't continue on the 2018 Farm Bill forever. So I think we're all very motivated to get something done.
Do you think the Senate committee will be willing to take up issues like Proposition 12 and that of pesticide labeling and E15?
Well, you know, it's never easy to get all these things done. We still need the 60 votes, but we need to address those things. We obviously need a fix for Proposition 12, and the E15 is so incredibly important to so many of our members. You know, it is a serious, serious thing for both sides, so I think that we're going to come to some type of an agreement.
There were a number of pieces of policy that especially row crop farmers needed that were in the budget reconciliation of last summer. There's still several titles that remain with regard to the new farm bill. What are the ones most important to farmers in your state?
Obviously, the commodity prices, the programs there, the crop insurance, the animal disease infrastructure, trade promotion programs, research all of those things that would put us in a better position, because we certainly know how to raise very healthy crops, but we're going to have to do the investments, which was like roughly $65 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill there. That was such an advantage that we had, that we could get so many of those things in that bill, because, you know, we knew the farm bill wasn't going to pass soon at that point, or we didn't think that it was. But to get that in there, that's so incredibly important to producers, to continuing growing the safe crops. And we know how many moving parts there are when you're trying to be successful in row cropping. And all of those things that we got in there, we're certainly proud of.
Senator, Ranking Member Klobuchar has mentioned and pushed back against the GOP proposal on cutting SNAP and putting more onus on states. She's adamant that that will see the light of day and is calling for change. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think what we've done, we've been prudent about that. I think Amy's really concentrating on running for governor of Minnesota now, and so there's times that she really is all in. And, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with, because we have to have those 60 votes. So it will be interesting to see how that turns out. But hopefully, you know, she's going to be reasonable and that we can come to an agreement. But they're so, you know, and states are concerned right now of the fines of their error rates in putting out SNAP benefits. So it's a lot of discussions that are going on at the same time with that. And we're just going to listen to her. I hope she listens to us, and maybe we can come to an agreement.
You said on appropriations as well as agriculture. I've heard Senator Bozeman talk about it. Other members of agriculture leadership on the Hill have mentioned the need for additional financial assistance. Do you think there's additional funding that could come from Congress this year for segments of agriculture?
I do, because it is certainly critical that we get it there, you know, especially as farmers are starting to plant this year's crops. You know, we're still seeing those record low prices and all of the input costs from fuel to labor that have even, you know, certainly the conflict in Iran has not helped that. And it's just really, it's a struggle for the farm economy across the country. So the administration and Secretary Rawlins sees the importance of that. And I think that, you know, we're going to have to find a vehicle to get it in. But I do think we're going to be successful there. And I hope that we are, because this plan will gain, you know, a lot more discussion coming in the next few days. But I have a lot of producers in Mississippi that it is critical for this.
Plenty of attention being given to higher input prices this year, and then certainly exacerbated by the Middle East conflict. I had a president of a commodity association tell me this week, we're grateful when emergency assistance comes, but it comes and then we write checks to those that we buy inputs from, and then we pay taxes on it. The big concern about just how much it costs for farming today, and I know there's some research, or at least there's some investigation going into why farm input costs are so high.
And there needs to be. I mean, we obviously, the discussion that I'm hearing the most of back from my producers are the fertilizer prices. After, you know, meeting with the president in the Oval Office, and I asked him to take the tariff off fertilizer, and he did immediately. But there's so many other things that, you know, we deal with, like the countervailing duties that are on there, the phosphate that affects phosphate and other inputs. We're working on it night and day to try to find the best way to approach this. But so much of it has to do with the conflict that we're in right now. But I know firsthand what they're dealing with. The price of fertilizer, which people are buying less, and so you just wonder what the effects that's going to be of what they would normally do on the acreage that they have. We do have a bill floating now that I, along with Senator Marshall and Grassley and several others, introduced the Lowering Input Costs for American Farmers Act. to try to eliminate some of those CVD duties, which we believe could bring some relief to them.
We could spend a long time talking about trade, so let's just narrow it down to USMCA. There's a review coming this summer. From the Mississippi perspective, what are pros and cons of USMCA, and what's your counsel to the administration as we review this agreement?
Well, I recently signed a letter led by Montana Steve Daines, really good friend, that did express my support, our support for the USMCA in regard to American agriculture and the competitiveness. But Mississippians, you know, they support it. Mexico and Canada are largest ag trading partners, and this is 6-year review will allow us to discuss what needs to be improved. But overall, the message I'm hearing from my producers loud and clear are very supportive of USMCA, and they want us to build on this success story where we can, and they want me to continuously be, you know, involved in making sure that it's a plan that we can support, which right now we're there. I'm sure that, you know, I'll have discussions of people that want to make changes, but there is broad support from the members here to continue on what we're actually doing. And if we can improve it, you know, that's a win for everybody.
The wheels are already turning, and apparently we'll pick up speed this year on the reorganization of USDA. First, your thoughts overall, and secondly, what does it mean for Mississippi?
Well, I'm really grateful for the leadership of Secretary Rawlins and Deputy Secretary Baden and other Undersecretary Hutchins for their efforts to reorganize USDA to better meet the needs. I get so many calls. I mean, we have so many issues out there that you don't have enough time for me to tell you the conversations that I have with farmers and ranchers on the services in certain areas, not all areas. Some of them are doing a great job, but we definitely need to cut out the waste, the bureaucracy. And my biggest priority with this reorganization has been to maintain and build on our ag research infrastructure in Mississippi that supported our economy and farmers and ranchers across the entire country. But we do have a lot of issues that desperately needed addressing. And the USDA team, they briefed me that we will be receiving 17 research positions and over $4 million worth of projects between our ARS Stoneville and Mississippi State University, which was great news. There was a lot of people very nervous about that. And Stoneville will be designated as a National Office of Plant Science Research. So we're extremely happy about that due to how important row crops are to Mississippi, to the Delta. And, I mean, they just couldn't have picked a better location to focus this research in my opinion.
One of the big concerns that farmers and ranchers have shared with me is having enough staff at the local offices to be able to administer the programs available. Is that also a concern in your state?
It is, but the concern that I'm hearing, quite frankly, is that we have informed staff that's prepared to implement these programs, that have the background, the experience necessary, that when they go in, they're talking to people who are very qualified in those jobs, and that hasn't always been the case.
How about technology? Undersecretary Fordyce mentioned a goal of putting more technology in the hands, especially of NRCS, so that there wouldn't be so much red tape, that they could go to the farm, they could build a plan, and the one file program to expedite program participation.
Well, I'm sure any new technology that well-trained staff have access to would be beneficial. I haven't heard a lot of chatter about that, but I certainly welcome anything that would increase productivity and the satisfaction of our farmers, that they feel like that they're really being serviced by USDA. And if that's, you know, technology, that's wonderful. I would definitely welcome that. You know, when you're dealing with farmers, you know, the average age is well in the 60s now, and not all of them, they don't want to go online to do a lot of things. But, and they're going to go in that office. So I think having it there to help service those farmers that may not be quite as comfortable doing that would be excellent.
We're looking at Department of Agriculture figures, and over the past several years, we've lost a lot of acres of wheat, but we have especially lost a lot of acres of cotton, almost a 50% reduction since the mid-90s. This is not just farmers and acres. This is cotton infrastructure. And you have a plan to revitalize the cotton industry. What's your plan?
Oh, Jeff, I'm so glad you asked that. I'm so excited about this, and I'm getting so much support for my Buying American Cotton Act. And I introduced it last summer, but it would give tax credits to companies that sell products within the U.S. grown extra long staple or upland cotton. And I mean, we're getting so much traction, more than I ever expected. But we do believe that this will drive demand for our cotton industry domestically. And, you know, that's certainly where we want to be. Our producers, as you just said, they've been facing a global market that has been much more detrimental to them than other crops. Just look at Brazil and how much cotton it can grow in one season. And most of that cotton goes to China, which has cut our producers down significantly. But, you know, we're still wearing those blue jeans. We still, you know, have the demand there in so many products. But the communities in my state used to have mills that, you know, were just everywhere. And most of that has gone away. But we're certainly getting this incentive to encourage companies to bring their supply chains back to America. And we had a hearing with Secretary Rawlings that we talked about that, and she fully endorsed it. And I'll expect we'll see more support to come from the Trump administration on this, because that's where I'm certainly going for my conversations to make sure they're well aware of this. But, you know, we've got companies like Target, like Gap, Victoria's Secrets, L.L. Bean, Ralph Lauren, that have become involved to support this. And we've got 80 members of Congress, including the chairman of both the Senate and House Ag Committees, that are supporting this. Even my MAHA folks, Make America Healthy Again, are supporting this. But, you know, it's taken more than a year to build this coalition, and could not sing the praises of my partner, Congressman Greg Murphy, in the House enough. So this is one that when people ask me, what are you working on in D.C.? What are the highlights? What do you see, you know, coming forward that you're just super excited about? And this is definitely, you know, at the top of the list with other things. But I'm very excited about this, because there's no reason why we cannot be competing. And we've just got to position ourselves that. And with these tax credits for the companies, that's a way to do it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this really produces results for us.
If you wouldn't mind, take us a layer deeper in how these funds will be used in developing industry. I mean, some of the names that you mentioned are global companies. And I'm not sure where their production facilities are, but as you support the companies, how do you see that steamrolling into support for rural areas that have suffered because of a lack of the cotton industry?
Well, with the demand in the cotton product, the domestically produced American cotton, the demand there, obviously they're going to buy more American cotton. So you're going to see your gins, you're going to see your infrastructure. And the industries coming in, in the textile industries that we hope will flourish again.
Senator, one of the issues that has been called on for a number of years is to approve a higher blend of ethanol and gasoline, E15. Is 2026 finally the year that crosses the threshold in the Senate?
There is a lot of support for that. You know, Mississippi, we're a large broiler producing state, one of the largest in the nation. So 90% of our corn crop goes to broiler feeders. So I'm not hearing from my local producers, because we just don't grow that much corn for ethanol producers. But I do anticipate that we're going to see a lot of traction there, and how to attach E15 to different bills, different packages, maybe even a farm bill sometime before the end of the year. But the Trump administration, President Trump himself, he's made it very clear that any proposal, you know, he wants to satisfy both the ethanol and the refineries. And so, you know, we're working very hard to reach that common ground there. We've been working on it so long. I obviously think of Senator Grassley, and he is, you know, he is so committed to this. And, you know, we know that it's going to be difficult. It has been difficult. But we're just going to see how this song and dance ends.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for taking time at a busy schedule in Washington to spend with us here on Open Mic. You've been here before. It's Open Mic, and the guest has the last word today.
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity. I love talking about agriculture. That's kind of who I am. I'm the ag lady in the U.S. Senate, and I just love the chance, any chance I get to discuss this, to let producers know what's going on, and just to let people interested in agriculture and those that eat three times a day, to let them know what's going on. So thank you for allowing me to do this.
Our thanks to Mississippi U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nelling.